Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Let it flow! Let just go! Slow and low, that is the tempo!
I spent 4 years in local law enforcement before joining the Secret Service. I know the long hours these men and women put in and the professionalism they bring to this partnership. And in that capacity, I was always proud to support the Secret Service's protective mission when called upon as a municipal police officer. In no way should any state or local agency supporting us in Butler on July 13th be held responsible for a Secret Service failure.
Well, that's a slightly different tone than we had before from Ronald Rowe, the acting Secret Service director, who is trying to, save his butt and not get forced out of office and, you know, maybe figure out what actually happened during the assassination attempt on President Trump's life. I will tell you, because remember, he had blamed local law enforcement. If only the SWAT team had looked left, and then the reporting was that they couldn't have because they were doing what you told them, sir, which is, or what your organization told them, which was stay behind the glass away from, you know, the window, and you'd have to put your head out the window in order to look left to even see the shooter up on the roof. So, yeah, this is not their fault. So now he's just full taking blame, praising local law enforcement and not talking bad about them anymore, which is a good reorient. He needed to say that. That's true. Oh, my God, what came out of this presser that he did a couple of days ago is here, I'm just going to play it for you.
So moving forward, in addition to this task force that we'll provide more information on next week as we begin to stand that up, I've also directed all of our SACs, our special agents in charge of field offices across the country, to reevaluate where we put our security rooms. If a state or local sets up a unified command post, maybe we need to be in that room as well, as opposed to just being in another room and relying on that counterpart system.
The Secret Service folks weren't even in the same room as the unified command of the local law enforcement? You've got to be kidding me. Are you seriously? And then going forward, I think what we probably need to do is maybe we should be in the same room as... Do you think? Oh, my God. Drones in the air?
So we did not have a drone on site. We did not put a drone up. Based on the information I have right now, I am aware that there was a request from a local agency to offer to fly a drone on that day. And that is also part of the mission assurance review that I've asked to get some better insight in.
Didn't have a drone because they couldn't work with the cell service. We knew that from before. But they got offered drones by local law enforcement and said, nah, we're good. Don't need a drone. Oh, my God. So they're going to start using drones more. You think? Jeez Louise. It's worse. Okay, it's worse.
So just to clarify, U.S. Secret Service countersnipers did not have radio communications.
Not with the local CS folks that were providing a support. They were basically had an area of responsibility independent from where our countersnipers were securing.
They didn't have comms with the local snipers. This was the first event that had Secret Service snipers. They did have local SWAT at prior events. So it's the first time they implemented Secret Service snipers, which is part of the reason why they'd had the bad communication problems. Have they talked to the local SWAT team yet? This was 20 days after the event.
Has the Secret Service actually interviewed the snipers that were in the AGR building?
Mm-hmm. So the mission assurance, we will start. We're starting with our federal personnel and working out. We will get, if they're willing to be interviewed, we will ask for the local law enforcement on site to be interviewed that day. So I think what we'll do is we'll let the mission assurance play that out, and we'll look forward to interviewing them and definitely getting their side of the story.
We look forward to interviewing them. Good Lord. It's like if you know, there's kind of this old principle that when everything goes wrong, what you kind of want to say is, well, just by sheer dumb luck, you'd get something right once in a while. They haven't gotten anything right, which, again, I hate to say, when everything is wrong, you start to ask whether anything was wrong. or whether everything went the way somebody planned it to go. I mean, the body cam footage just came out yesterday of these guys trying to get up on the roof. You know, God bless them, okay? They had 10 or 15 guys around after the guy had already been shot trying to get up the back roof because nobody had a ladder. Nobody could figure out how to cheerleader pyramid throw them up to the top. I mean, like all the stuff they weren't able to do, which, okay, they're trying. But there was like, they're basically sitting around saying, why was anybody on the roof? Which is what everybody's been saying. Oh, man. I keep saying this, and I hate to be a broken record, but this is really, really, really bad. And everything we learn, it gets worse. 6:15 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Coming up in 20 minutes, we're going to have an exclusive chance to talk to one of the victims of the slap suit that was brought by Escambia County against a couple of private individuals, Jonathan Owens. They have won now. The PNJ and Alex Arduini being the other ones. Jonathan will be with me here in studio in about 20 minutes. We'll get his perspective now that the ordeal is over. Transgressors Memorial Service comes up next. Find out who got canceled this week. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. We are seeing some delays if you're on Highway 29 and 9 Mile Road. You'll see some delays both in the north and southbound lanes. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you've got to manage employee benefits, you've got to manage HR, you've got to manage payroll. These are all things that when you get into business, you know, you get into business to run a restaurant or to do HVAC or to, you know, give legal advice or repair cars or whatever you do, you probably don't anticipate the joy and thrill of figuring out employee benefits plans, right? And if I mention that to you and you kind of cringe a little bit inside, like, why do you have to talk? Okay. That's where Torgerson Causey comes in, because they can help you with that. They can solve that problem for you. They literally are the, you know, insurance nerds who got into business to help you not have to do that stuff, because they love it, and they're very, very good at it. And I don't know why anybody would want to, but they do, and they're good at it, because they've been helping us here at News Radio for several years, and they are better than what we had before. We have more plans and more options than we had before, and far superior customer service than what we had before, and I appreciate that from them. More than 20 years in business helping local employers just like you solve this stuff. For a no-obligation review of what you're doing to see if there's a better way, 433-9996, or check them out online at Torgerson Causey, tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Conservative Republican Walker Wilson, Escambia County's next generation of conservative leadership. Wilson is a fiscal conservative who will cut taxes to give hardworking families and seniors on fixed incomes relief from rising prices and make life more affordable. Wilson will invest in infrastructure projects to ease traffic congestion and upgrade our aging stormwater systems to protect our neighborhoods from flood risks. Walker Wilson will fully fund the Sheriff's Department to keep us safe, work to give the sheriff the power to enforce our immigration laws, and push to recover the millions of taxpayer dollars spent on benefits to illegal aliens. Walker Wilson has deep roots here and shares our North Florida small-town conservative values. Vote for conservative Republican Walker Wilson for Escambia County Commission, Escambia County's next generation of conservative leadership.
Paid by Walker Wilson, Republican for Escambia County Commissioner.
When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying safety for your family, an investment that will hold its value, and something that will last a long, long time. In a few words, you're buying trust. According to Consumer Reports, Subaru's been ranked the 2023 best mainstream automotive brand, and the Subaru Outback has been named the 2024 recommended model. For a limited time, you can celebrate them both with special offers during the Subaru Lot to Love event, now through September 3rd. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. There's certainly a lot to love about a Subaru. Safety, reliability, and owner satisfaction. And we invite you to stop by Anderson Subaru to discover what automotive experts and Subaru owners all know. It's easy to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Learn more at Subaru.com/CR. Consumer Reports does not endorse products or services.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and installation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more. PenAir Credit Union's new high-yield checking account helps members elevate their financial journey when they need it most. Earn 4% APY simply by enrolling in e-statements and making a deposit of $250 or more once a month. It's that simple. Get started online by visiting PenAir.org or visit one of our 12 convenient locations in Northwest Florida and South Alabama. It's okay to think big. PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 4% annual percentage yield with e-statement and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more. For details, go to PenAir.org/checking.
I'm Dr. Karen Barber, Superintendent of Schools. Under my leadership, we increased the graduation rate from 88 to 90.4%, increased industry certifications earned by students by 177%, and increased scholarships by $6 million. Our students rank third in algebra, fourth in reading, fifth in math, sixth in biology and U.S. history, and ninth in geometry. Let's keep the progress for our children going. On August 20th, vote to re-elect Dr. Karen Barber for Santa Rosa County Superintendent.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the comedian and actor Vince Vaughn for his recent comments about Hollywood studios, all hail their highnesses. Appearing on the YouTube show Hot Ones, Vaughn explained why R-rated comedies like Blazing Saddles, Airplane, and Silver Streak, or even somewhat newer films like The Hangover and Old School, don't really get made anymore.
The people in charge don't want to get fired, more so than they're looking to do something great. So they want to kind of, you know, follow a set of rules that somehow, like, get set in stone that don't really translate. But as long as they follow them, they're not going to lose their job.
Now, dear brethren, sistren, and othern, I must confess that at first I was confused by this comment, since Vaughn seemed to be criticizing a development which, of course, we celebrate because we made it happen. Our movement has been actively working to destroy comedy and satire in America for decades, going all the way back to first wave wokeness, which at that time you probably called political correctness. Of course, we have always known that the key to controlling a culture was to make it scared to be funny, since humor is one of the historic sources of independence and the subversion of authority. The only laughter and joking we support is that presented by approved late-night comedians such as Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert, who exclusively serve our interests by targeting things we despise, such as straight white men, Christians, Republicans, the police, parents, traditional marriage, and of course, America. Although our movement still pretends to be revolutionary and anti-establishment, now that we have captured most of the centers of cultural power, we definitely want to suppress dissent, independent thinking, and of course, comedy. So when Vaughn decided to criticize studio executives because they've been successfully scared into defunding edgy comedies that offend our members and challenge the status quo, well, obviously, we had to cancel him. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, Senator J.D. Vance, who, despite our best efforts to cancel him over the years for all sorts of reasons, continues to hold appeal to some people for reasons we can't even comprehend. This time, however, we think he may have finished himself off by finally alienating the most easily offended and most prone to overreaction voting bloc of the American electorate, childless cat ladies.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made, and so they want to make the rest of the country miserable too.
Yes, the masters of offendedness, the level 3 certified identifiers of outrage, the North American Ministry of Childless Cat Ladies hath screeched their displeasure for this outrageous aspersion upon their character by Vance back in 2021. Clutching their pearls in one hand and their lace doilies in the other, the ministry has hyperventilated their postmenopausal fury upon the Republican vice presidential candidate, and rightly so. How dare he? But aside from deriding the fundamental right of those women to be as miserable as they want to be, Senator Vance actually had more to say on the subject.
And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
Now look. Need we point out that every citizen is entitled to participate in their government, and that obviously includes the childless, especially those highly conscientious reproduction objectors who eschew childbearing as a form of political protest against global climate change. So of course the non-breeders among us need a political party to belong to, and what better one for them than the one which embraces promiscuity through contraception, universal right to pregnancy termination, and the minimization of parental rights for those unlucky few who inadvertently make a baby or two despite our best efforts to talk them out of it. And just because people don't have kids certainly doesn't mean they don't care about the future. This is just another one of those long-standing Christian bigotries born from that horridly patriarchal instruction, be fruitful and multiply. As if monogamy, sexual reproduction, and children are somehow a sacramental method for participating in the nature, grace, and glory of God. What are we, Catholics? I think not. So childless cat ladies everywhere, unite! Turn off your soap operas, put down your remote controls, and beat your knitting needles into protest signs, for the kingdom of the childless cometh. And it is harder for a breeder to enter into the queendom of heaven than for a pregnant woman to pass through the eye of a needle. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we really couldn't be more proud of our local teachers around the country for successfully pulling off one of the greatest heists in modern history. They stole the alphabet song. And they stole it from parents by teaching an entirely new one to children without even telling the parents they would do so. Brilliant. As TikToker Mindful Teacher shared with us recently,
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Now I never will forget how to say the alphabet.
Now, I understand that for many of you, this rearrangement will come as a bit of a shock. But that's the point. This is meant to entirely disrupt the traditional child-parent relationship. These teachers just up and decided one day to change the alphabet song and then taught it to children without informing their parents, let alone getting consent. So now these kids just return home, like sleeper agents, waiting for the moment their parents try to sing them the old version and then correct them with the updated one, thus supplanting parental trust and authority with that of the teacher. Fantastic. Remember what von Hofenstein wrote in his seminal treatise, How to Replace Parents with the Government, Volume 3. If you ever have the chance to make children distrust parents, do so. If you can substitute another source of authority, especially a government representative for the mother, so much the better. Also remember your Ketterson's first rule of revolution. Change. Always change. For the sake of change. For all change is revolutionary. Thus, this new song is wonderfully subversive of parents and the known social order in general. Also, it has the added gaslighting bonus +4 because we can tell parents the new song was created to fix the errors of the old song, like slurring L-M-N-O-P together like they're one word and making some children think there's a second N nestled between Y and Z. Not only can we undermine tradition in parents, we can do so in a way that makes them doubt themselves, just like we did when we told them Pluto wasn't a planet anymore. Fantastisch, meine Kinder. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by Five Finger Discount, resellers of only the finest shoplifted food and drink, specializing in canned goods, produce, and frozen burritos small enough to fit in a purse. At Five Finger Discount, they wage war against the capitalists by the redistribution of food and a theft-positive lifestyle that is the envy of no one. Five Finger Discount, you can really taste the misdemeanor.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Just a little late to traffic with John Pickens. John?
Well, no accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pickens.
Thanks, John. Into the newsroom where Steve Taylor awaits with our headlines. Steve?
Well, a third person is dead from a listeria outbreak that originated in deli meat. Boar's Head recently recalled 7 million pounds of meat products following two other listeria deaths, one in New Jersey, another in Illinois. Yesterday, the CDC announced a third person has died from the outbreak in Virginia. The total number of sick people has risen to 43 across a dozen states. And NBC reportedly plans to ask Snoop Dogg to be part of the 2026 Winter Winter Olympics coverage. You see, the rapper's been all over NBC's broadcast of the Paris Olympics and seems to be wildly popular. The Athletic says when two key NBC Universal executives were asked if there are plans to ask Snoop for a return to the 2026 Milano Cortina Games, they gave affirmative answers. And that's what's happening.
I will say this.
Yeah?
I did not enjoy watching him not swim well. I think I would enjoy him not ice skate well. That's a great entertainment potential. Jonathan Owens will be here in studio with me talking next about the Bergash lawsuit against him and the PNJ and Alex Arduini, and now the ruling by the judge and what that means going forward. That'll come up in about 10 minutes.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster.
I think it's very important to have debates.
And former President Trump and Vice President Harris agreed to debate September 10th on ABC, which is when Trump and President Biden were going to debate again before the president dropped out of the race. The former president has suggested holding three debates.
I'm happy to have that conversation about an additional debate.
A conversation to be had after, Harris says, the first debate next month. There's flash flooding in South Carolina. What's left of Tropical Storm Debbie's moving up the East Coast through the Mid-Atlantic and New England today and tomorrow morning.
We are going to be looking at a huge threat for flooding once again. And this time around, it's going to be in areas throughout central PA, upstate New York, moving into maybe the leading edge of Vermont as the remnants kind of takes off into southern Canada.
It's Fox Weather's Keanu Lewis. The highest tornado risk today is in New Jersey and eastern Pennsylvania. Stock futures slightly higher. Ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 right now, 75 degrees and clear. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. The Florida Highway Patrol has charged an Escambia County man in connection with a road rage incident. 62-year-old Mitchell Hayden Coffey was charged with aggravated battery, hit and run, driving under the influence, providing false information, and refusal to submit. Troopers say Coffey and a 34-year-old male driver were involved in an altercation on Graves Road off East Olive Road after almost being involved in a collision where a death threat was made. The two parties separated before Coffey went to his home and re-entered the roadway when he observed the other driver on the road. The Florida Highway Patrol says Coffey intentionally collided with the other driver's vehicle three times. He then retrieved his handgun from inside of his home and placed it in the vehicle. A Coffey remains in the Escambia County Jail with bond set at $41,000. A new community in Escambia County is giving residents a chance to not just survive, but live. That's what Vincent Scallion said yesterday when he moved into his new tiny home community in Pensacola. Fresh Start Village is for Scallion and other foster youths who have aged out of the system and are looking to start the next chapter of their lives. At yesterday's ribbon cutting, former mayor of Pensacola, Grover Robinson, told News Radio,
I think it's very exciting to see happen, so don't understand why some people wouldn't like it. I hope this, since this kind of serves as a model, and I think you can see more of this happening. I think this is, these are the kind of things we got to be looking for. As you're talking about affordability, you have to look at all kind of options.
The 400-square-foot homes come fully furnished. There's a community center where tenants can get help with finances and health care. Well, it looks like a pretty hot weekend ahead. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first 40 weather update. Mostly sunny skies today with a 20% chance of a stray sprinkle. Temperatures very hot this afternoon, 97 degrees. Overnight temperatures dropping near 79. Hot weather continues for your Saturday, high near 95, 20% chance of a stray sprinkle. Saturday night temperatures dropping near 75. Keeping the warm weather around for Sunday, 20% chance of rain, high near 94 and low near 75. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now, but we are seeing some slowdown if you're heading from Pace into Pensacola. Both the northbound and southbound lanes, seeing some delays through that construction. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Right now, it's sunny and 75 in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, and 72 in Milton at 6:34. Next news is coming up at 7 o'clock. Breaking news happens anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. European markets rose slightly on open this morning as they look to shake off the recent plummets from Monday's global stock sell-off. Bad economic data has stoked recession fears. The European stocks was last a quarter of a percent higher. Mining stocks led gains and added more than 1.6%, while travel and leisure stocks rose just over 1.1%. The average rate on a 30-year mortgage fell this week to its lowest level in more than a year. The rate fell to 6.47% from 6.73% last week, according to mortgage buyer Freddie Mac. This is the second straight weekly drop in the average rate. The elevated mortgage rates, which can add hundreds of dollars a month in costs for borrowers, have discouraged home shoppers, extending the nation's housing slump into its third year. Futures are slightly higher as Wall Street rebounds from Monday's stock sell-off. Yesterday was the market's best day since 2022. That's your money now.
Hi, neighbors. I'm Colton Wright, your current Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5. Thank you for allowing me to serve you for the past 4 years. Public safety has always been my first priority, and I've made sure our sheriff's deputies have the pay and equipment they deserve. I've worked hard to improve our roads and infrastructure, improve our parks, supported Whiting Field, and I brought new jobs to our area. I'll continue to use common sense and build strong relationships that benefit all of Santa Rosa County. Please reelect me, Colton Wright, on August 20th.
Paid for and approved by Colton Wright for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 5.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code COMFORT at checkout. That's harrys.com, code COMFORT. Enjoy.
The recent global outage had many businesses scrambling to recover. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. The single program made millions of business and government systems inoperable. As an owner, you and your IT team should have a plan in place for when trouble strikes. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
My grandfather taught me, if you give a small man a little bit of power, you have a big problem. Well, District 1 Escambia County, you have a big problem. District 1 has a commissioner who helped authorize a retirement plan for other commissioners that was outrageously expensive and stopped by a lawsuit. It is time to get decisions out of back rooms. It's time for a change. Vote Steve Stroberger on August 20th.
Paid political advertisement by Steve Stroberger, Republican for County Commissioner, District 1.
Andrew McKay, Bobby Rossi. What do they have in common? They both covered the RNC from Milwaukee. Now, it's the Democrats' turn. Beginning Monday, August 19th, Andrew McKay on Pensacola Morning News and Bobby Rossi on Pensacola Right Now will report from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Andrew McKay, Bobby Rossi. Catch their interviews and observations throughout the convention on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
What you want, baby, I got. Good morning, 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and you might say this is the bookend interview. A drama saga that started with an interview that... maybe at some level he wishes he hadn't done after the fact.
Not at all.
But Jonathan Owens is a good friend. He was the former chief of staff for Doug Underhill when he was county commissioner in District 2. You know, back when it used to include Perdido Key. sorry, I can't help it. He also ran against Jeff Bergosh in District 1 and then found himself weirdly redistricted out of that after the fact. That's so odd. Anyway, but the reason he got to be in the news is because he was the recipient of a flash drive on his desk when he worked at the county that contained several thousand, tens of thousands of text messages from Jeff Bergosh to various people on his personal cell phone, not his county cell phone, which, as is the common practice, people do a lot of official business on their private phones. He found it. He came here and talked to us about having been given it and at the time wasn't even quite sure what to do with it. That led to a lawsuit. Jeff Bergosh managed to get the county to agree with him to go in on a lawsuit against Gannett, the PNJ, who published some of those text messages and news stories. Alex Arduini, just a local who got caught up in all of this by making a slightly ambiguous statement on Facebook. And then Jonathan Owens. Our radio interview was actually evidence at the trial. The trial is now over. The judge has ruled, and Jonathan, the PNJ, and Alex win. Escambia County and the taxpayers lose. Jeff Bergosh loses, and here we are. Jonathan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning. Glad to be here with you.
How do you feel today?
A little lighter load than yesterday morning. You know, it's is it completely off my plate? Not at all. It's never over until the checks are written, right?
Yeah.
Till everybody's paid and the bills are settled and all of that. You know, I look forward.
Because, by the way, that's one of the points here is that the judge ruled that this was a slap suit, strategic lawsuit against public participation, which was designed and is punishable under Florida law by making the county pay the legal fees.
Right.
Because it was designed to stifle free speech, which it did. I mean, the lawsuit by the county stifled speech. I know it made me a little scared to talk about this on the air because goodness knows what I might get in trouble for and what Jeff Bergosh might bring as a lawsuit against, you know, news radio.
You might be added to the lawsuit.
Exactly. I was waiting for the day when he added me for something or other, right?
I mean, so the board of county commissioners voted 4-1 to go after someone or something undefined. Using, you know, weaponizing their legal staff in lawfare against someone. We still aren't 100% sure who made that decision because it surely was not made in the sunshine on who all the defendants were. Obviously, I was, Alex Arduini and Pensacola News Journal. But, I mean, it was essentially carte blanche for people to go or for the Board of County Commissioners to go after somebody or something. And that's just not wrong, not right. It's lawfare, weaponizing our, you know, local government, much like we see in the national stage, against a former political opponent.
Right.
I am not Jeff's political opponent. I am not running for anything. God knows that race is full enough right now. I mean, you've got his former aide and some friends and family running as ghost candidates. So, you might want to ask Dennis if I think he's on the line with us about the anti-slap act.
Yeah, I will for sure. We actually have Dennis Green on the line. That's the lawyer who represented you. Yeah, it was witch hunt litigation. I mean, it was definitely slap. Even though on his blog, a very meek statement from Commissioner Bergosh about how he disagrees with the outcome and he wants to appeal it. But then he says that the county legal staff advised him to go through with the lawsuit. Anyway, Dennis Green is on the line. Dennis, congratulations. Welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thanks. Good morning. How are y'all?
We're doing good. I wanted to start with this. I just want to make sure I've got all of my facts straight. I mean, I read the order by the judge. It's not long, 6 pages. But the lawsuit is over, but for appeal. You guys all won. It was ruled that there was no legal merit to any of the elements of the claims made against your client or the other clients, and because it violates the anti-slap statute, the county is on the hook for the legal fees, right?
Correct, yes. You know, I think the judge pretty much laid the roadmap out when he ruled against the Replevin and the writ of Replevin. So, you know, that should have been a pretty strong indication of how this was going to go.
Were you the judge actually added a piece of analysis to the case where he explained that it's hard to make the claim that this is a cherished and valuable commodity while at the same time you ordered it destroyed by the county, which of course did not happen. I thought it was interesting that the judge actually, you know, weighed in with a bit of analysis that nobody had brought up at the trial, but is compelling as, you know, lacking legal merit, right?
Well, absolutely, and that's the reason why he's a judge, and I'm just a lowly, you know, solicitor. you know, that's exactly right. I mean, the judge made a great point there. Furthermore, I think that the issues are a little confounded with when you sit here and you look at an individual that uses a quote-unquote personal cell phone for county business. At what point did that phone become county property? And then at what point do you still retain, you know, the private ownership over certain information that's contained on it?
Right.
And I think the judge did a really good, you know, analysis on that as to, you know, not everything is subject and open to, you know, public records requests. However, if you add the fact that you then take your personal cell phone, you give it to the county uses county resources and then puts it on a server at the county. You know, at what point did you surrender all of that information voluntarily? I think had Mr. Burgos done this on his personal accord, I think the outcome would still end up being the same. I just think it would be a lot longer road to get there. Here, clearly, the judge found that the county lacked standing. They lacked a possessory interest in the items that they were going after. I think had Mr. Burgos actually funded his own, you know, lawsuit, I think, you know, in the end, there's still the First Amendment issues because it does pertain to county business and the things that are going on here locally that concern the citizens.
You know, one of the things about this, we're talking to Jonathan Owens and Dennis Green here. One's on the phone, one's in the studio. Escambia County, it was never clear to me why they were involved in this at all, since if it's public information, it's public information. If it's private, it should be Jeff Burgos' own personal thing to resolve. And so it was a weird lawsuit from the very beginning, which is why I wasn't surprised by the outcome. We'll talk to you guys for just a little bit more in a second. Let's get Jonathan Pickens in here with Traffic on the Fives. Jonathan in studio, John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives. Sorry.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Dennis, just a real quick question. As I read the anti-SLAPP statute, the lawyer is potentially liable for a share of the payback of the opposite side's lawyer's fees. Now, of course, Allison Rogers did not sign the original order. She wasn't involved in the prosecution. I would assume that that exculpates her. I think she was smart to do that, frankly. But poor Steve West, I keep saying, was kind of forced into this. Somebody had to say yes. Is he going to have to pay legal fees, or is that something that's still to be decided?
Well, I mean, I think had he not been a county employee, I certainly wouldn't want to be working at a private law firm and have that hanging on my head. But here, I mean, ultimately, the county is going to be the one that's going to pay. So, you know, even if we had the motion for sanctions hearing and it was granted and sanctions were issued against the attorneys for the county in their individual capacity, at the end, the county's the one that's going to be cutting the check.
Okay, so even if he pays, they'll pay him back, basically. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Switching back Jonathan Owens here in studio with me. Jonathan, feel free not to tell me, but I'm just curious. Do you even have I assume Dennis knows what he's charging you, but the county's going to have to pay for this. Do we have a ballpark even on what that's going to be?
Well, at this time, I'd rather not share what my legal fees with Dennis are. That's something that we're still talking about it.
Yeah.
Right now, Dennis is on the air.
So this is billable time, right?
This is billable time. I know that the team of attorneys for the Pensacola News Journal is probably, no offense, Dennis, way more expensive than Dennis.
right.
So I can imagine that might be in the six figures for just the P&J side. That's
right.
Not counting, you know, Alex Arduini's time or Dennis's time. So, I mean, yet another lawsuit that the taxpayers, like you just said, have to pay for. And it's not Escambia County, you know, the government is paying for it. It's every one of us.
Right.
We all pay property taxes, and this goes into one big pot, and this is something that's being spent on legal fees. Just add to the laundry list of lawsuits that the county is steadily losing. you know, by their own choice of getting into things that they shouldn't necessarily get into.
Whether it's Ramey Edler or the federal government and Ramey Edler, or whether it's Pam Childers, or whether it's you, or, you know, pick it. It seems like when it comes to legal matters, kind of, again, the old rule is, you know, you would think that even sometimes you'd get it right, and it just doesn't seem to almost ever, you know, they get it right. I do want to.
Well, Andrew,
go ahead, Dennis.
Let me add this real quick. I mean, you know, there's, you know, it's, I don't think it's a secret that Mr. Burgosh is talking about wants to appeal the ruling. And I can tell you right now, you think the P&J lawyers are expensive. Go appeal something and see, you know, go find you a good appeal attorney around here. They're very expensive. There's only a few that really excel in that area of law. They're very expensive. So, you know, he's wanting to triple down on the liability back to the county. And I would like to think that the other county commissioners would, you know, tell Jeff, hey, look, enough's enough. It's time to move on.
Yeah. And also, and I kind of mentioned it before, but this is all because of the lawsuit and because of the effect that it had, you know, even on me looking at the public version of the texts, you know, that had been disclosed as a part of this lawsuit. You know, I felt like, I don't know if I want to get into all of this because maybe we bring some kind of legal jeopardy on the station or he sues us because he is very litigious. The plan to slap worked, and we are in, you know, primary season, and we're just a few days away from an election. And to me, the frustrating part about all this is that the truth and the stories that could come out of the evidence contained in the text file have all been suppressed by the lawsuit, or have been heavily suppressed
Absolutely.
By the lawsuit, which is, you know,
Absolutely.
Looks like a winning political strategy for Jeff Burgosh, potentially. I mean, it's an amazing thing. Jonathan, go ahead, Jonathan.
I struggled with how long it took, you know, it's like a watch pot never boils, right?
Right.
It didn't take long as in the grand scheme of things for the judge to come up with this decision. But hindsight being 2020, I'm glad that the judge took his time to put together an order such as this that was, you know, concise. It's like you said, it was really simple. The average layperson can understand the language in it. It's not a 20-page, you know, response. So I really do appreciate the judge's tone and tenor in the way he wrote this, as well as his time that he took to do it. I mean, I called his office and left a message for his assistant, just, you know, following up, because I mean, it's been, you know, 60 days since we originally went into went in front of him last for the motion to dismiss. So I was getting antsy of like, okay, how long is this going to go on? So I really do appreciate him taking his time and bringing back an order like this that's very concise. So
I am just kind of curious as a looking back, looking forward. I don't know. When I had you on the air first, you know, over a year ago, you kind of said you kind of shied away from talking about the content of the text messages. I don't know whether you wish you'd never seen them or whether you're glad that they're out there. I just kind of want to give you a chance to say your piece now that you're kind of free to do so, however you want to do it. So this is your chance, you know.
Well, you know, cautiously optimistic, right? I mean, we're still in the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Especially if, you know, Jeff is considering, you know, trying to sway his peers to continue down this bad road of wasting taxpayer dollars suing a private citizen as well as the News Journal, as well as, I mean, two private citizens.
I mean, the
as
judge
well
said he was suppressing the First Amendment. The judge said this is clearly a First Amendment issue.
It's clear as can be. Now, again, the obviously the P&J has a copy of this.
Right.
They're not on this radio station.
Right.
I'm pretty sure there's probably going to be articles to come.
I would think.
My goal, you know, if there is a goal, is just for that the people of Escambia County are educated, right? Transparency. This is, like you said, an attempt to suppress freedom of speech. I mean, it's the First Amendment to the Constitution.
right.
You know, it's not like, oh, you know, we got to figure out how to get around this. This is the most important amendment to the Constitution. Well, the second one's pretty important
to
me
too. Right.
You know, those two things are really important to me. But the fact that we've now got to a point where the folks that do have this, and I don't know who all has this, can feel okay to talk about it and get it out there.
I know we're just completely out of time, but do you feel safe publishing it, like as a for everybody can look, or are you still deciding?
I'm going to wait till my lawsuit's complete before I do
that makes sense.
Anything that is going to put myself or any of my family in any more financial burden on this. I'm not going to put myself into that position.
I absolutely understand that.
And I'm sure Jeff's real excited about that.
Yeah. Well, there may come a day.
Yes.
There may come a day. Jonathan Owens, you know, as always, thanks for the input. Thanks for enduring this on behalf of sort of representatively the citizens. Dennis, thank you for the legal advice and the defense, and also for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
No, you're welcome.
And, you know, who knows what the future brings, but we'll definitely keep talking about it when it's relevant. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
I'm Ashley Hoffberger, Republican candidate for Escambia County Commissioner, District 4. I am the only candidate with endorsements from our county first responders. It's unanimous. The people who lay it on the line every day to protect us. Our professional firefighters, our law enforcement, and our EMTs believe I am the best choice for County Commissioner, District 4. I'm Ashley Hoffberger, and I am asking for your vote on August 20th.
Paid for and approved by Ashley Hoffberger, Republican candidate for Escambia County Commissioner, District 4.
Welcome to the heart of farming season, brought to you by Parrish Tractor, formerly Coastal Machinery. Parrish is a family business with a heart for community, and through their products and services, they want people to feel connected to the land, to their work, and to one another. Parrish has everything from agricultural tools and resources to construction equipment, including rental solutions. With Kubota as their premier brand, they offer Kubota L-Series tractors, mowers, hay equipment, and more. Parrish Tractor, more than a tractor store. They're located on Mobile Highway in Pensacola and Ferdon Boulevard in Crestview.
Carissa Bergosh is running for school board to make sure our children are not harassed or bullied. A lifelong teacher and educator, Carissa knows the number one issue affecting education is a lack of discipline. When the Florida governor appointed Carissa to the Escambia County School Board during an emergency vacancy years ago, Carissa ensured that bullying and fighting were not tolerated, and our schools were much better. Choose proven leadership. Choose Carissa Bergosh for school board on August 20th.
I'm Carissa Bergosh, running for school board District 4, and I approve this message.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get the Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
But that's not what he said. He distinctly said to blave. And as we all know, to blave means to bluff.
Good morning, 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and joining us in the newsroom, we have Steve with a few headlines for us. Steve?
Well, good morning. At least one debate between former President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris is set. ABC News announced Trump and Harris agreed to a debate on September the 10th, and during yesterday's press event, Trump said he agreed to two more debates on NBC and Fox News, but those networks have not confirmed that. The two tickets have been engaged in a back-and-forth over a debate agreement. Well, authorities are investigating after a woman was crushed to death on a conveyor belt at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Police say the incident happened early yesterday after the woman entered the restricted area at the international terminal. Firefighters discovered her entangled in the conveyor belt system in the baggage room, and no word is on basically how she got into that area. They're really checking that out, and that's what's happening. I'm Steve Taylor.
All right, thanks so much, Steve. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk a little about the new tiny homes that have already been occupied over at Pace and Blunt. Secret Service is... just to say, Secret Service is... and Meet Your Tenant Commands at 7:35.
Local news every hour.